The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey y'all, Randy here. Now normally you would hear me and Mikey both at the top of a flashback episode for commentary, but Mikey is on sun duty and is cutting grass at his mom's house, and Drewby's on her way home because his mom is dropping her off. And so I am like, you know what? Let me, what would Mikey do? You know, so I am putting this commentary at the top of this episode because it is really important for us to drop this flashback episode forever, ever. It ain't all bad. So this was an episode we did after our 4-year anniversary, or like for our 4-year anniversary, marriage anniversary, wedding anniversary. Y'all know. And we recently just celebrated our 8th year anniversary on April 24th. And so we really wanted to share a throwback. We're going to keep sharing throwbacks every Friday for the remainder of season 7. One, to repurpose older episodes, and also because we have so many people still listening to our show, and some people starting over and starting from the beginning, and they email and DM and comment on our page about old episodes, and we're always like, what in the world were we doing? Was Drew here? How old were we? What was the episode about? In our older episodes, there's some really good stuff in it, and so we want to honor those episodes, honor the work we've done in the past, bring it back to the forefront, you know, like Nick at Night, like nostalgia, like reruns, but want to obviously communicate with y'all that we know we are posting older episodes again for Flashback Fridays. And yeah, and we intend to keep doing so. And if there are episodes you really want to hear again, or you think we should highlight, you know the drill. Please email us, DM us, comment on social media, all that jazz, because we love to hear from y'all. And also just, yeah, tell us what you think about this episode. If it's been a minute since you heard this episode, if you've been married for 4 years, did this episode touch you, you know? What do you think? Groot is in the background pacing, so my goodness, he knows Drew is on her way home. And he's waiting at the door. Okay, he just gave me a kiss. Okay, y'all, let me let y'all get back on to your listening pleasure. Thank y'all again for listening, for tuning in, for replaying this episode, for revisiting this episode. And again, you will hear Mikey on the next one, the next flashback. Thank y'all again so much for listening. As always, be blessed. Don't settle. Fight clean. Peace. Happy listening.
You know, you see the TV shows, you see the movies. Whenever something creeps in the house, it's the man's job to like
make sure you do it.
Do the thing.
Unless you read books. If you read books, the men actually don't do much. But, you know, that's why.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's an example. Rewind this back 40 seconds and then fast forward 40 seconds. That. No reason for that at all. But you did it. Not saying you hate men. But that right, the facts and figures,
I'm saying,
for no reason.
You would get some diversity and conflict if you picked up a book.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, we're good.
1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get into the mood? I tell them pump them keys while I keep up with the shoes. We got a real nice thing in the pattern of the groove. I can feel it flowing through. I see the song so clear when you roll it down your back. It's a matter of fact.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy, and this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time.
Yes, welcome back, new listeners and OG listeners. We're thankful that you tuned in.
Before we get into this episode, we want to provide clarification. Singer, songwriter, and actress wrote and gifted our first jingle, Ebony Janae. She wrote it without music, and we played that on an episode a long time ago. But we recently partnered with her for our updated version. So if you're interested in similar services, stick around until the end and or check out our show notes.
Yep.
All right, y'all, continuing with our theme, we're talking about our fourth year of marriage, but plot twists, only the good things.
A little bit of positivity today.
Right. In our first segment, we're going to discuss some of the things we're grateful for now that we've been married for 4 years. We'll also discuss our favorite experiences and share one thing we want to keep doing in year five. Second is our fight or flight, where today I'm Randy confronting Mikey about treating me like he doesn't know who he married. Finally, we'll
wrap. What does that mean?
You'll find out.
Dang.
That's my only hint. Finally, we'll wrap it up with our PDA segment, where we will thank each other for something and or share something we appreciate the other for.
Okay. So it's just a whole episode of appreciation and love then.
Right.
A little positivity after. What was our last episode?
Deeper than the highlight reel, which we got really great feedback for. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Yes. For listening and loving it and not thinking we're too crazy.
Though.
We probably are.
Probably.
And also, thank y'all for the anniversary love that y'all showed us on social media.
Yes, we really appreciate it.
Especially
if you're getting
Instagram.
This episode, this is a couple days, 4 days after our anniversary.
Yeah.
And we celebrated. We posted some images. And we
from
got some
wedding.
Really good feedback. It was nice.
Yeah. Thank y'all so much. It was an interesting day. Fun. But interesting. You know, we're in quarantine with a baby. Anyway, we hope you enjoy. And we're back.
All right.
So, as y'all know, we have been married now going into our fifth year.
Going into our fifth year.
Yes. Together since we were 15 to 17.
Y'all, somebody asked me the other day how long we've been married. And I said 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been thinking about going into the fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew this was the fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that guy that doesn't know how long he's been in a relationship.
It was really interesting because he's never made that mistake.
Ever.
Until
I was just
moment.
Really excited about going into this fifth year, because the fourth year, though we have a lot to be thankful for and happy about.
It was rough.
But we're not talking about that today.
We're not.
We're talking about.
So yeah, right. So we have managed to weather storms and love each other to the best of our ability for 4 years straight,
mm-hmm.
with no end in sight so far.
You sound so excited about
and,
that.
And so we want to share just a few things. And so we're going to start with things we're grateful for out of this 4 years of marriage. Because, you know, nobody really takes the relationship seriously until you get married.
Mm-hmm.
Discounting all this decade of work we did to get
because
here.
It's not 4 years. What's the real number?
It's like 12, right? How old am I?
It's
12. I was
15. It's 12.
27.
Going on 13.
Yeah, going on 13 years. Yeah. So it's been
but
a long
whatever,
time.
Four.
Right. So we only have four under God. So fine. So we're going to share two things each.
Yeah,
the
first
to
decade
start.
Was blessed.
Right. Good. To start, we're going to share two things we're grateful for. Each. And so, Mikey, you first.
All right. So, on a 4-year ride, there have been moments of loneliness, but I've never felt alone. I am grateful for having a true partner. It does feel great. We have real closeness, real loyalty, real support. And while that, you know, comes with other real emotions, you know, like real hurt, real pain, or whatever, it just, our connection is deep. It is mm-hmm. long, and I appreciate it, man. It's nothing like having that spades partner that don't cut you out when you just won the damn suit. It's nice. We have an understanding of our roles. We play them to the best of our abilities, and it works out for us most of the time.
Thank you.
I like my companionship, how it works within my relationship. And Randy just made me listen to something wild today, so it's still in the back of my head. And I'm just thinking about how I know I'm blessed to have the partnership that I have. But that's just one of the things that I'm grateful for is real companionship.
What is real companionship as opposed to not real?
I don't know. Again, having those tough conversations all the time is one of those things that just kind of comes this at like the top of my head when we talk about it. Like we have all of the good and mad difficult shit too. It's like there's just balance. And I don't feel like I'm gonna get left when we start getting into the negative, you know, like most of the time. I feel like you're still going to stay around. Maybe.
But
well, we have people forcing you to do so. So it's like, you know, there's a good chance you might not.
I get it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm grateful that we're still friends for the most part. And, you know, we've been friends for a long time. You're one of my oldest friends.
That's true.
A lot of people can't say that. A lot of people don't have a lot of people they still friends with since high school. And, like, you're very ingrained in my life and in my family, which is our family. And I feel the same way. And it just feels very natural still in a lot of ways. And it's just comfort there. Comfort to still have a friend.
We have been friends since high school.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, if nothing else, we got that going.
Because I don't really talk to a lot of people from high school still. I talk to some that I still love, of course, but obviously we're not leaving high school with the same friends we had in high school. And so it's just nice that you're still around as a friend in conjunction to also being like as a spouse.
Well, you know, I have my best friend from high school and we speak once a year, like clockwork. There's one text that go out every year.
And he finally met Drew, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
And then following that meeting, I said, send me a picture. I heard nothing. And then 7 months later, happy belated birthday. You know, those. That's how we have it.
Maybe that could be really one of your
like, that's our relationship. It is what it is. But, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I do still look at you and see a friend.
How about you? Your second one.
My second one, the thing that I am grateful for is great sex. Yep. Another year and we still got it. We get it. It is what it is.
That was going to be one of mine, but I was like, Mikey will probably use it.
Let me beat you to it. Thank you for letting me go first, by the way.
You're welcome. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, what else can you say? Yeah, I know we have good sex. You know it.
Nah, you ain't taking that. What's your second thing?
So my second thing. No, I remember. My second thing is I'm grateful that our intentions for our relationship and our family are still aligned. Hmm. Aligned. I mean, obviously, I think it's very... Not obvious. Maybe it's not obvious. But people change and shift. And sometimes that shift is away from each other and away from like the intentions and the big goals, the foundational goals that you originally set when you enter into a relationship. And ours haven't changed for the most part. We want to be, you know, generationally like wealthy and, you know, we want sustainable wealth and not just financial, but like... And all the other ways that it matters. And mm-hmm. we still want Drew to be taken care of. And we want to be happy and married and not just married. And despite what we have been through, those intentions are still the same.
That's true. I'm grateful for that. You could have switched it up on me. You've seen it happen.
I have. And ditto. Though I do feel like sometimes we switching up on each other. But like the end goal is still... Like, the intention is still the same. We have changed. We talked about this, and maybe we will in future episodes, but we just changed. Some things don't come as easily as they used to, but then again, did it ever really come easily if he was, like, really lying? You know, so we have changed and grown, but we have not yet seemed to shift from each other, which is a big deal. Or shift from our original intentions and why we decided to get married and have kids.
But that's just our stubbornness.
Right. Could just be devotion, but okay. Call it what you want. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So secondly, we're going to talk about favorite experience from this year. We got two each for y'all. All right. So your favorite experience or one of your favorite experiences, Mikey, and why, if you haven't gone into detail in your notes.
I just wrote it in. Figure I'm gonna talk off of it. I was thinking of my favorite experience in the past 4 years, and then I was like, no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing it from this year.
I thought it was from the last year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so I started thinking about what happened this year. First thing that came to mind was Drew. And then I realized that wasn't part of this year.
Yes, it was.
That was right after. She was born in March.
2019.
April. So uh-huh. April to April don't include her being born, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Within our last year of marriage.
I just did it from life didn't start till Drew.
That's what I was saying.
Well,
I was like, I literally couldn't count it. So I'm like, all right, I want to be specific. It was just in case your counter was like, but she was born in March. I was like, all right, because it's a good point. So the second thing that came to mind was my graduation from the program that I did.
Oh, yeah.
That process started in February, ended in June. I lie. The process started in February, ended in August.
Right.
When I finally first got, you know,
a position.
A position. And that wasn't the plan. That wasn't what I signed up for. It wasn't with Danger one you were signed up for.
Right.
It wasn't what Drew signed up for. She just got here. But we managed to make some really great come of some really bad.
Okay.
And that graduation day on my at my ceremony, it was just really nice to like hold my baby who was born in the middle of the program.
Yeah.
When I was just learning this trade, and to just have you there and people who I've talked to for months now, you know, have a face to put to all the stories, and they've spent the last, you know, 6 months or whatever getting to like know me, and basically all I am is stories about my girl. So it was just, it was a good time. I saw the way you looked at me afterwards. You looked genuinely proud.
It was really hard.
It
sucked. On all of us, but I knew it was hard on you. And, like, obviously, clearly.
I really appreciate it. I remember it very clearly, as if it was yesterday. That was the first time I think I was able to really like pick my head up for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, there was still more work to be done, but it was nice to be like, you know, give myself this for this day. And I was happy. That was one of my highlights from this year. And again, that just went back to speak to that companionship that, I don't know, like I really felt like my partner was looking at me like, you did that. I was like, I did do that.
Because you did. I mean, y'all know, Lord. Y'all know, we're not going to be redundant. It's supposed to be a good episode.
Yeah. But yeah, that was one of my favorite experiences.
Okay. Well, mine was, my first one actually was the labor. I wasn't thinking about the fact that our anniversary was in April. Year. But whatever. It's our show. Do what we want. But no, I thought at least, or maybe it does count if we're talking about like all 4 years.
It counts.
But anyway, I chose the labor because even though the labor was really hard, 38 hours long, and ended with her getting cut out anyway, you know, which is incredibly
rude.
Could have
been here all the time.
She could have been born on her due date, before her due date, when I wanted her to be. But on your birthday, shoot, she could have came.
She really could have. When she was ready.
But no, our labor was one, well, and I say our because it was a joint village effort. Like, obviously I had to do the work, the physical labor of it, and in a lot of ways, the mental and emotional, to continue to labor for as long as I did mm-hmm. without medicine. And then with the medicine, and then when the medicine wore off.
I was like, we should make a point to talk about that. You weren't saying without medicine, like with pride. It's just that it faded after a certain
right.
point.
Like I was really bent on the water birth mm-hmm. and I intended to have one, but after 32 hours, it was like, you can't. It became, maybe you should get an epidural because you're too fatigued to even get over this hump, to progress.
Didn't they give you something to wake you up though? When you
So they gave me epidural. But then the epidural wore off and then they had to cut her out.
Which you hear stories about.
Yeah, it really did wear off. And so I think if I ever were to get pregnant again and do labor, I would still forego medicine because what
really?
The fuck is the point?
Really?
Yes. If it's less than 32 hours, I can do it.
You sure?
Yes.
Maybe I'm just thinking about me because from my perspective.
I know you was over it.
No, not that. It's just from my perspective and everybody watching you. It wasn't until moments where there was medicine where we were all able to like breathe. Like she is not screaming. Like she is not in pain. Like for this moment, she just took a nap real quick. She may have gotten some rest.
I mean,
she
the rest definitely helped, but it wasn't really restful, if that makes sense.
It was,
I was
restful
still
in
contracting.
That's what I'm saying. But like from the perspective of she get to close her eyes for a minute and maybe shut down mentally for at least an hour for her to like get back to
I'm
what she has to
right
do.
I'm telling you right now, I wish that I did not have to get that medicine because while it did take the pain away, right? Like mm-hmm. I was thanking that woman. Like I didn't even
you were.
Care
no,
about
was
it.
Fun.
I was thanking
well, I got
her.
To see the needle and I was scared for
you,
but
I was like, do big. Whatever you got to do. I was there.
She came in there like the candy lady.
Yeah,
too.
She's like, hey, she's like, mama. Hey.
Like what she do is sling drugs in the hospital. She's like, got
I was
something
like,
for
hi.
You.
Yeah, I got
gonna
something for you.
Gonna take the edge off.
It's okay. I was like, please, I will take whatever could have been crack cocaine. I was at that point. However,
that shit was funny.
The after effects of the epidural
oh, the
was not worth
the
it.
Chill,
the vomiting, the not, the being
the
so,
epidural?
It wasn't epidural, but I couldn't, the epidural had made me numb on one side. I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't hold Drew. I was shaking so bad, which was a side effect. I would take that pain that I was in, then that after effect.
I get that.
Like, I was just like, the catheter, why? It was awful. It was awful.
I get that.
Like, it was awful. And I get that some women love the epidural and whatever, it's worth it. But I had time with both. And I really would still choose on Medicaid. I felt more in control of my body. I felt like myself, you know, even though I was in pain. But the labor was one of my favorite experiences because, you know, as always, you stepped up and I felt very supported. And I didn't feel, I don't know, a lot of women do not have good positive birth experiences with their partner.
We've had that conversation.
And I didn't
maybe
know
not
that.
On the podcast, but when you brought that up, I was just kind of surprised like by some of the stuff you described.
Men can be really awful.
Well, real quick. So this came up because when you were pregnant, you had, I don't know if you were crying or something, you got upset and you were just like, I don't want this experience. You started telling me about some of the stuff that you read in a Facebook group.
Yeah, in the breastfeeding group I was in, uh-huh. And these women were sharing their birth stories and their breastfeeding stories, and these husbands and these boyfriends was just like, just god awful. Like, probably low key serial killers. Like, really trying to take people out mentally.
You told me it, and I was like, I don't know who did that.
And I'm reading this stuff.
A lot of what you read and you told me.
And then you joined the men's group. And you got to see some of the foolishness.
Yeah, and then I left that group.
He was like,
I'm still in it. I just didn't pay no attention to it. But the one thing that stuck from all the advice that you gave or you showed was like, don't make jokes. Because I felt like that was going to be the hardest part of like me being in that room. I was like, it's not about being funny right now. Maybe she don't want the edge taken off with jokes, like just shut up.
I feel like you didn't have to be directed. You did have to be told to like rest and to sit down and to be helpful in that way, because you can't help me if you're exhausted or aggravated or starving. You need to be taking care of yourself so that you can be resourceful. But the labor was just good for me to see you be in daddy mode, and I couldn't hold Drew for a few hours, and you had to, and you're the one who caught her leg, that she had a dislocated leg, you know, because they were so busy trying to get her out and close me up. And he was just very attentive and present, and I felt great. And then when I thought I just couldn't do it no more, that 24-hour mark, I just knew I was going to die. You were like, hey, we already did this. Like, I will never forget you said that. You're like, this is really old. You can do this because you've been doing it. And I was like, you're right. I've been doing this for 24 hours.
By the next day, it was kind of like,
you were like, look, this is new. This is not new pain.
And I wasn't speaking from a space of like, I'm tired of it.
No,
really,
he was just
like,
listen. Like, he was like a coach. She was like, listen.
If we didn't do this shit yesterday, it'd be another conversation.
Right. He was like, but this is this pain you feeling? This is old. Like, you can do this. You already done it. And that, I'm going to tell you, that really helped me mentally switch back. Because I just, every time I had a contraction, I felt like it was the worst thing ever in the history of ever. But he reminded me that it's actually been a day. Not 12 hours.
These contractions.
It was 24 hours of these contractions. And I was like, and that really, really, really helped me. Like, it wasn't, like, maybe from another perspective, it would have been seen as me. Because it was like
and
a coach.
Again, also, depending on like, the tone, how it was presented, that could have been.
But he like looked me
sideways.
Dead in my eye.
I
like,
there's
a picture. Maybe we'll share it. There's a picture. Mikey got on my level because, you know, I'm short, y'all. He got a foot.
I think that is when I told
over
you.
Over me. Yeah. He bent down. He looked me dead in my eye. He was like, hey. It's been 24 hours. This is old. This is old. You can do this. And that was just really, it was just so powerful. And I was like, okay, you're right. I just need to be reminded. You know, I keep saying that, but
which
that really
did. You said
did.
That, though. You said that before.
I was like, okay, you're right.
I was like, I'm going to hit you with some facts. Facts.
Because y'all know I need
Nurse
my
Jenny
facts.
Nurse Jenny just told us that you've had these same high-level contractions for the last 2 days. It was like, these lines look perfect.
Yeah,
everybody's
this
talking
is perfect for giving birth.
What you mean perfect?
Why this baby ain't coming out?
She's showing painful numbers, and these things lasting forever. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, so this is what you were doing yesterday.
And they were coming every, like, 2 seconds.
I was like, nah, you're done. You're ready.
He was like, you can do this. This. Anyway, it was
and
great.
And then Randy started breathing through him like she not feeling nothing. But again, I'm still looking at the waves and numbers on the screen like, oh, that's higher.
I was like, no, this old. This old.
I was like, oh, that one wasn't old. But all right. You like, tell you,
stop telling me what this chart is saying. I don't give a fuck about what these lines
say. I stopped. I was like,
don't
okay.
tell me nothing else. Oh, babe, there's another one. Shut up.
I did.
He was illustrating. But no, it was great. And it was good for me to see you in that way. And, I mean, I guess it's similar to the time when you had the motorcycle accident and you felt like I had like stepped up.
Nah, this was better.
But
no, you did great then. I'm just, but this was
But that was that experience for me. Okay. I hadn't had a motorcycle accident experience with you.
I get
that. Well, with my grandmother, when she passed, you did great too, but I wasn't here for that. Mm-hmm. I came all after the fact.
Oh, so are we going back for back with moments?
No, I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying. No, technically. No, like we are. If we are, then you owe me a moment.
What?
After this.
What?
Like it's 2-1 with moments of like support is what I'm saying.
Oh, no. Grandma Pat and labor. Nigga, that labor is for both of us.
Oh, it's 2-1.
Yes. You only have one experience where I've had to be in a space. No, the program. Do you not feel like I stepped up?
Actually,
we are even.
We're even.
Doggone it. What you mean?
Who goes next? Ain't no next.
Not
baby,
me.
So.
Right. So, labored out.
That'd be another motorcycle crash. I'm not joking. Not
this pandemic. Us surviving this pandemic together. We both have to step up and do our part. Then we'll be 3-3.
But no, I'm. I was going
to
be my first
one. It was giving me to see you in that space and to feel like I could trust you to. To just do what you're supposed to do. Just be a good person. Be humane. Help me get through this labor because this is your baby. And, you know, it was great. It could have been a lot worse if you had been another type of man and you just aren't.
All right. One of the ones that I remember from the stories you told was the lady was giving birth and her husband was telling her she was screaming too loud or something. Like
yeah.
That.
I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, oh.
I was trying to think of a real example. I was like, who does that?
I mean, y'all kept telling me to breathe and that was about to get you cut, but.
Well, that was because that seemed to help you.
It wasn't helping at that point.
But until that point.
I know I gotta fucking breathe. What you mean? You think I'm trying to kill this baby? You think I'm trying to kill myself?
No one was
saying
breathe.
That's where I was going.
Like that. We were all saying continue to breathe because you were holding your breath.
I was like, stop telling me to breathe. Somebody say breathe one more time.
Your breaths.
And I almost cussed my mama out. I felt so bad. She understood that. She was like, Randy, I'm only telling you because you're not breathing. So.
That's what, how you say so to that? How can you say so to
I'm
we
going
all
to
see you holding
eventually.
Your breath? Randy. No.
You try breathing through a contraction.
No.
It's awful.
God has blessed me with the ability to never ever do that.
It's awful.
Well,
I mean,
I did have a Charlie horse that one time.
Shut up. Okay. We were just supposed to be about good stuff. Your second experience, favorite experience.
My second experience from this year, my favorite experience has been your girl group.
What?
That's my second favorite experience this year.
I can't wait till they
no,
hear
if I
this.
Ticked off the childbirth and I ticked off the program
this.
Completion from us.
My girl group is
your group
favorite
is my
experience?
Favorite experience.
Why, Mikey?
I have known you since we were teenagers.
Yes.
I've been with you forever. We've just had a conversation about this. We've been friends since high school. Me and you have always been a friend circle. I have also seen your other friend circles. And you know, as a friend, sometimes you look at your friend circle and wonder what the fuck is wrong
with
your friend.
You like my friend circle, Carmen?
I have. But you haven't always had the best friend circle.
No.
And usually your friend circles turn into friend dots. It's
Do
a thing.
Say dots?
They start to shrink. Then it may become a group to one person out that circle.
Okay.
Which is why you just named Carmen. I'm not saying she's the
I
only one left.
Shitty.
I know. I'm just saying like it.
Shy, Kirsten.
It used to be bigger. That's all I'm saying. Your circles condense. And I've seen you go through a lot of different groups within, you know, different phases of your life. And you have this group that you talk to of moms and like, they make you happy.
They do.
You have a genuine outlet, like an outlet to help you whenever you're dealing with something that's mom related or wife related. You just want to like vent. I don't know what the space is for. I just know that you like it
in a group.
And it makes you happy.
He want to be in a group, y'all.
I don't want to be in a group anymore. I had that,
anymore.
That passed. I wanted to because I like being around when girls talk. That's always my thing because that's how I get information. And that's how I figure out which one in the group I'm a target. But times have changed and I'm not that person anymore. So now there's no game for me to scoop. I'm just going to let you live.
Mm.
And
so what was your original reason wanting to be in there earlier?
Because I'm nosy. Trying to figure if they was going to be a bad influence or a positive one.
Bad influence, like how?
Like with some of your other girl groups.
Mikey.
That's not the one that you can still name.
But how was they a bad influence? I still weren't allowed to do nothing.
It's not that. Some of them had a negative effect on your psyche. On your,
oh, yeah.
You know, like,
they just
like
weren't,
that.
I wasn't well.
Did you forget?
I wasn't so, well at all.
That's what I'm saying. So it's just, it's nice to know that there's a positive influence out there with you and you... you're even the voice of reason in some of the things that you've like told me. Randy has told me like maybe one story out of this group when they talk every single day. And that's okay. I'm not counting. but no, you, like I said, we've gone through a lot this year. And one of the positives that just that came out of it, because this is the one thing I could use to tie into your motherhood and our parenthood. And I don't know. It's just it was really funny to me. It's nice that you have that for you. It's nice to see you're happy.
Thank you. I am. I love them very much. I can't wait till this pandemic is over because then I'm flying everybody house.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to make that happen. Mm-hmm. We're absolutely going to make that happen.
We?
Yeah.
We you?
Yeah, I'm gonna help you go.
I'm gonna say you better come sit with a girl gang.
I'll do that. Them niggas got husbands.
They do have husbands.
What? Nothing. Did you forget?
No, I didn't. I did, but
every city we hit, you go hang with the gang girl, and me and the dude gonna hit strip club or something. I don't know,
Mikey. You're definitely not hitting the strip club with Zed. Or why any not? Of them, actually.
Why are you specifically saying that?
They're just not. You're just not going to do it.
They're going
to
hear this.
It's not going to happen.
Where do they live?
Where do they live?
Don't say Houston.
No. No.
Where is Sid and his wife specifically live?
Virginia.
Oh, ain't nothing in Virginia. You straight.
Mikey, we're not having this conversation.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Y'all come to Atlanta.
I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said that was your favorite experience. That was very sweet of you.
You're welcome.
My second favorite experience from this year is our card games when we can manage to do them. So we actually, as y'all know, play spades and any other card game, but we are real players. Okay. There's no reneging, but that's not actually the game we play together. We play this game called Palace or Castle.
The original I think name it's of Palace. It was Palace. It's Palace. I renamed it Castle. Because
and then
I'm
he
stupid.
Told when he taught everybody, he kept calling it Castle. And then we got back to the person who taught us. She was like, "What game is that?" Because that is not the game that I taught
it's
you.
Like, it's the same game.
It's the same game with different name. But it's called Palace, and he actually learned this a while ago, and then taught me. And we played this game, and it's a card game, and it's just a really fun game. And sometimes we do it before we do an episode, or sometimes we do it when Drew is asleep and we just need to powwow and let's just play games. Let's play a card game. And so our card games have been a nice
change of pace.
Yeah, just a nice like, hey, it's healthy competition between us because we're both competitive. We actually are competitive.
That's why I renamed it though, because I wanted to be able to say I'm the king of this castle after we finish the game. Yes, he did. Because I didn't know who lives in the
like
palace.
We had like a few years ago, right when we got married, right? No, we were about to send out our invitations. It was Valentine's Day and we had played, we were like going to 14.
It was first to 10, I think.
It was a long game. Yes. Now we played all night. I don't think.
It was first to 10. We played it ended till, being 10-8.
We played till the sun came up. I won.
Randy did win.
I won.
Just because she wanted to say she was the king of this castle. And I was like, it doesn't matter. I'm still the king of this palace.
I won, and so we just kept up with it. It's just nice. I can't pinpoint one particular card game experience because they're so sporadic and random. Sometimes they happen in the dead of the night, or you know, whenever Drew lets us do anything together.
There was one during the time of the program. You were dirt tired. I was exhausted. I was struggling with homework or something, and I don't know, I think I was on the edge of a breakdown, and you just sat down and like pulled out cards. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, I did do that.
That's one moment.
I did do that. I forgot that.
Yeah, the card game has always been kind of like a, all right, let's bring it together type thing,
and let's just forget about everybody else and focus on beating each other. And then we get to the end and we're like, oh.
And in those moments I always win. Like the really, really sad ones where you
when
pull
he
it
really
out.
Needs to
I was like,
win.
Did you just
it's like
let
the
me?
Universe understands? Because I win, okay? I win paper, scissors, rock.
There's balance.
Because I know where Mikey, what he's going to throw out.
I don't play paper, scissors, rock with Randy because she cheats.
I can't help that I know
Randy
what you're
going
to throw
out.
Randy
knows the answer to paper, scissors, rock every time. It's wild. I know that you can't know the answers, person listening, but shut up. You don't know what I go through.
He doesn't
win. We be
with
trying
me.
To decide, all right, what we going to do?
Who going to change Drew?
Randy be like, paper, scissors, rock, get the fuck out of here. Like, no.
I can't help that you thought the same shit the first, second, and third time.
But I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I changed my mind.
You think you changed your mind, Mike. You have a pattern. You throw all these same things.
But my pattern works with children.
Not with me. Yeah, it's so funny. He thought the same
But then
thing.
I try switching my pattern and Randy's all... Anyway.
Because then I'm like, okay, what do he think he tricking me with? So let me throw
I always think I'm tricking her with scissors. And then I go rock, because no one expects rock. Nothing beats rock.
Then I have paper. Like, boy, go do the dishes. Go change your daughter diaper.
But we play 2 out of 3. So I'm like, all right, she just won with paper. She wouldn't go there again.
So I'm going to throw out a rock again. You're an idiot. Go change your You don't even want to win. Like, at this point, you want to lose.
But one time, I said, okay. She threw out paper. So obviously, she's not going to do it again. I'm going to go rock. But now, I'm going to switch it up. She would be scissors. Expecting
Yeah, Mike, he's so predictable. Like, you think you're fooling me? Like, I'm a black woman. I know what you are thinking. So then he'd throw out scissors.
And I'd be like, nothing can beat scissors. And I hate Randy Little Ass Fist.
So we don't play no more.
Because my scissors are always bigger than her rock. So I think I should. Anyway.
We don't play anymore.
Thank you for that. Pam Scissors Rock is banned in our house.
Yeah. Until we gotta Drew teach Drew. Understands. Right. We're teaching Drew. Drew don't understand. She's just like, I don't understand why you keep singing this song. Anyway. Okay. So.
I like that one.
Thank you. So one thing we've learned about each other in this past year as a marriage couple. And yeah, Mikey, you go first. What have you learned about me that you didn't know before in this past year or hadn't realized?
This past year. All right, so this one kind of ties into the last 4 years, but it, you know, this past year is when I really had time to think about it. You're still deep.
What?
You're still deep.
That's something you've learned?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So we was kids, we used to write them deep notes on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Randy used to write poems about this nigga that she was really into. And I used to tell Randy, like, you're yo, stupid. Whoever you talking about, like,
stupid.
I hope he sees this because that shit hit. And I was not playing or being sarcastic. I was serious. What she wrote was deep. Randy's poetry was deep. The way she thought, her insights was always deep. It's one of the reasons why I fell in love with her. And it didn't stop when she was younger. I've learned this year that you're still capable of great shifts and changes. You're a completely different person now than who you were then, but you still have that in you. And it's really nice to see how it applies to new eras in Randy's life.
Can you give me an example? Because I'm confused.
Because now you're deep with your baby. It's like...
What? I'm confused.
Randy, our child is one. Yeah. You're aware of this fact, right?
Yeah.
Randy has the deepest conversations with Drew about patriarchy.
No, I don't.
We're battling that daily.
Mikey, that is not
even
the truth.
It's not deep, but you do it. You talk to her like an adult.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
She's
like,
smart.
You're just you. You're still you. Randy got our baby running around screaming freedom.
Justice. Breathe.
I was like, I need you to stop.
Drew breathes now. Because
what's not
going to
happen is
she'll stop.
Drew's not
going
to come home late one night. I'm going to ask her where she been, and she's going to say justice to me. Like, why she stole a pencil from a child at school or hit somebody at class.
Herself, she'll be crying. Not all the time, y'all. She's still a baby. Okay.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
But she'll soothe herself. She'll be crying and she'll be like, breathe.
But deeper than that, I'm speaking more to like the transformative side of you. You've gone through a lot and you continue to work on yourself. And you do that every day. Because not only because there's stuff to work on, but because you're just intentional, really big on making sure that you are going and heading in the right direction. Some of those aren't always graceful, the way you respond to having to change something or work on something about yourself. And it's not always nice, but you always do the work and you've always been that person. And it's just in this fourth year of marriage, you doing that while what we were going through, like you didn't have to, you know, it's like you'd be forgiven if you like decided you ain't want to work on yourself this year.
Right.
While we like down bad, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not, that's not a thing you have to do, but that's just how you work and that's who you are.
So you learned that I'm strong.
I just, I mean, you could say that. I already knew you were strong. It's just that, I mean, well, in a deeper sense,
I'm not saying that you're not.
No. I'm not saying that you're saying that. In a deeper sense, no, I've already known you were strong. It's just that I see you just still putting in maximum effort. Like, why? Like,
I appreciate
you don't see it that way, and that. You don't look at it that
way.
Well,
it's not that I don't see it that way. I just don't understand. I don't understand how for you that's something you've learned. Like what? Like are I'm you saying, learned? Like what part? Like what?
I said what I've learned is that you're still deep,
okay,
and still capable of great change. But if you've gone through many great changes, it's like,
is there anything
at what point? But you think that there's a point where you get stagnant, or that I'd be like, okay, now she's done. She's gotten to.
Okay.
And I'm not that person. I don't think I'm ever done working on myself. And you don't come across that way ever either. But it's like, you could, you know, if you wanted to give yourself a break this year, like.
I get it.
But that's just not how you work. And with a year of great adversity coming off of another year of adversity coming off of, you know, like the year before.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It's just kind of, I don't know. You respect that boxer that keep getting punched in the face and getting back up. But then sometimes you just be like, nigga, like, stay down.
Don't get back up.
Like, hey, bro, because, I mean, we gonna talk about your heart.
You still got your million, but.
You get paid after this, but you don't have to take this beating.
Because now I'm getting blood on me. So.
Your eyes
blood
shut.
On the camera. You can't even see. Go ahead, call it out. Just
that's what I'm saying. But that's you. That's your spirit, honestly. And because of that, after every fight, there's always either a victory or a moral victory. Like, yeah, I didn't, you know, I took what I needed to take from it and I came out better on the other side. And I don't know. Now you're that boxer that still has their memory and can like hold their kids after the fight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a thing.
No, yeah, it is. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Did that wrap up well? Did that make sense?
It did. Okay. I just wanted to understand. So thank you for working with my brain.
No, it's fine.
Okay. So one thing I've learned is, it's not a bad thing. I'm gonna start off. I'm giving you this disclaimer because I'm learning you. This is part of my thing.
Okay.
This is one thing, even though I'm about to say a whole thing. Okay? One thing I've learned is you shrink yourself / have confidence issues / you are also plagued by patriarchy too.
The three things.
One. They're all the same thing.
Got you.
But I'm just, you know, I'm giving perspective.
Pie charts, three parts.
Yes,
three
but it's the same thing. We do the little circle gram.
Yeah, it's one whole.
They all in the middle.
Yes.
Because they all.
The Avengers. The Avengers is a group of multiple people, but it's one thing.
I'm just learning that, and there's like a vulnerability in that you've had to expose yourself. You've had to expose yourself to me in the past year for me to see this. Because I never knew this was a thing for you. There was a glimmer for me back when you had your motorcycle accident. You were in the hospital and the physical therapist was coming in to help you. And like, you know, give you some training so you could move. And you were really worried about your hospital gown. Like you kept wanting to close it, even though it was in the back. And I was like, stop
decency.
Trying to grab your hospital gown.
No.
Everybody knows you're naked under there. Everybody knows there's a big hole under there. But just watching you do that from across the room.
While not being able to walk? That makes sense.
And also, like, nigga, you have to put your arms down so that he can help you walk. Like,
I also couldn't tie it because I couldn't move my right arm.
Hold the gown.
That's funny.
You just, it's a paper gown.
To clarify, I was laid on the bed. I had to put my legs on the right side of the bed to stand up. My right arm is in a sling because I cannot move it. And so I took my left arm to hold the strings together because it wasn't tied. And I had to hold it.
And it was just very, that was like very hard for me to watch because you were, here you are, bruised and bleeding.
Trying to keep some pride.
Right. And like trying to, and the what you're worried about is mooning someone?
Yeah, because
like
I know I'm going to walk. I don't give a fuck about this.
He's trying to help you.
I don't care
walk.
About the physical therapy. I'm going
to
get
and
up.
And you are trying to keep this gown closed. And it's just, it does not. And I feel like that's like a man's plight, right? Like y'all are trying to do these really hard things that, you know, patriarchy and like this toxic world has made it so you have to do or believe you have to do it. You don't know who you are outside of this identity of strength and whatever. Like these awful things that y'all are supposed to do, but you also don't want to have to do it. You don't want to be exposed, right? You don't want to have to relearn how to walk, how to walk. But that's the situation you're in. And so it was really interesting for me this year seeing you have these confidence issues and have these body image issues and to play really small in terms of, I don't know, just interactions with family, especially because you weren't in the space of obviously like having pride in yourself because you got your family living in this basement, paying your mama's rent, you drive and live. Like you have like in theory no reason to think you're the best when this is actually essentially proof that you are. Because there's a lot of niggas out here not making these decisions that they need to be making for their family, you know, and swallowing their pride to pay their mom, swallowing their pride to get out there and drive and to sit with their baby, you know, and to do all these actually manly things you were doing, but wasn't the manly things you thought you should be doing because that's not what y'all are taught. So it was really interesting being in a space with you. It's been really interesting this even now where I see you wanting to be yourself, but it is clashing with who you are supposed to be as a man. And I have never seen that until this year.
I think that the longer we're together, the more I'm forced to have to expose you to different sides of what I was once protecting, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not even things that you are consciously.
I think at one
letting
point
letting your guard down about there are things that you're not. I don't think there are a lot of things you're. Some of these things, yes, I'm sure it would have to be a choice for you to actually allow me to see this. Mm. But another part of things is just coming up. Like you can't help the fact that, yeah, you got to drive, live and do this program, but that you need to cry. Like sometimes you just got to cry and that ain't something that's not a choice you make. Like that's just like your body. Like, look, I'm going to do this for you.
This is the thing that you got to do today. I've had that.
Because, like, yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but
I'm not the biggest crier. It's just that today you just. Whereas that, or you going to shoot some shit? I don't know. Like, it's just like, I would like you to not step today.
Yeah. So that's been really interesting for me in terms of also my own empathy towards men. Because then I just feel like really sorry for y'all. Like, wow, in a lot of ways, the system is unfair and broken and women are tortured because of it. And
because of white men. Mm-hmm.
And how black men perpetuate it. But that's not this episode. Not all. But
I'm going to say anything.
How some black men perpetuated, even good black men who don't intentionally do it, but who do the same way that
women
I think
perpetuated.
No, I'm not talking about women. The same way that anybody, for instance, we consider ourselves allies and advocates and accomplices for the LGBTQ community. However, I think that inherently because we are heteronormative and heterosexual, you know, or identify as that and also monogamous, we fuck up a lot in conversation with people we love who are lesbian, gay, trans, queer, and we don't mean to, right? Like, we'll share the post and we'll donate and we'll go to the marches and we'll do all this stuff that makes people feel supported, but we still fuck up. Like, we'll still say something not knowing that it's inherently homophobic or harmful. And I think the same is true for men, and including good black men, and the same is true for women, including good black women. We perpetuate patriarchy and sexism as well. We internalize it. And this is what I'm talking about in terms of me. I didn't realize how much I had internalized patriarchy too, because I couldn't even see until this past year how you are plagued by it, how men are plagued by this very broken system. And this is why you don't have the language to talk or express your feelings, because I'm even just dealing with Drew. And considering what it would be like if we had a son, Drew is taught to express her emotions. She is taught language. She is taught to speak. But then I see how people raise their sons, because we don't have one, but like see how people raise their sons, or some people, and they're not given that same space. That's why when you get in
or
your 20s or 30s.
People who raise their sons who are our age.
Right. You know. Like you can't. Like, your son don't know how to talk. Like, he's so frustrated, he throwing shit because ain't nobody ever told him. Nobody allowed him to throw tantrums when he was her age. And nobody, like, talked to him. So now he don't know how to say shit. Now
likely it was the talking part.
Right. Now he beating everybody ass because he has no words. He can't even talk. He gets so frustrated, he crying because he never got to cry or talk when he was 13 months. Like,
I ain't started talking until I was 13 years old.
Keon didn't talk till he was 4. That one on us. You know, y'all, if y'all met Keon, this weird dude, you know, but.
He's still talking about my brother.
But I'm just saying that, like, even, like, boys don't even talk for a while. And that's like, pediatricians will tell you that language comes easier to girls. And I think that's because we get the space to, even though when we get older, it gets used against us. Oh, you're too emotional. You're too dramatic. Your tone. But we're allowed to. We done had all our life to do this. I know how to talk. But that is not easy for.
Especially, I can't speak specifically to like my northern side, but in the south, that's like all that talking, all that. That's what girls do. All right. That, like whatever, like that chitter chat. Like what the teachers used to say to us when we would talk in school. This is one of the reasons why I hate Sheldon. Man, all you do is talk. You're like a girl. Like, I was like, but for having conversation with people, like, it's just kind of like, it's one of those things. It's because of that. I'm shut the fuck up.
Right. But what I'm saying is with all of that, I'm just now seeing how, like, that is a.
How that affects.
How that negatively impacts mm-hmm. men and you. And so I've been trying to be very conscious of staying out of my man-hating bag, as you say, which is not the case, but you know.
Randy, you have a man-hating bag.
I don't have a man-hating bag, Mike.
Do you know what I mean by man-hating bag?
All I hear when you say that is you don't like men because you bring up
that's what you hear,
shit
what
that
I'm saying.
They shouldn't be doing.
No, holding someone accountable is not a hating bag.
What is your man? What is my
man-hating
bag?
When you just start whipping out facts and shit and figures and stuff.
So, wait, you said facts and figures?
Not because the conversation has anything to do with it, but because that's just the mood that you're in right now.
But you said facts and figures.
Yes.
So, I'm not.
The content doesn't change the purpose of what you're doing.
Wait a minute. Give me an example. Don't give me an example. Give me an example.
No, I will give you an example. I have no example.
What I'm saying is, it's just made me conscious of, it's made me more empathetic. I'm like, okay, for instance, this happened this year. When we first moved in together, there was this big bug. And my training has been, go get the man, go get the big man to kill the
and
big bug.
And my training has been, Mikey, go get a shoe, go get a pen.
And Mikey looked at me dead in my face. Broom. He said, Randy, I don't want to kill it either.
I think this time, I don't know what it was.
He said, actually.
I was like, you know what?
I don't want to
fucking do that. I think something snapped
like,
in me, y'all.
He was like, I am tired of being this man. But like, it really shocked me. I was like, wait, you hate bugs too?
Randy,
like that was so.
My earliest memory, no bullshit. I might have been six. There was a roach. We still lived in the hood. This was in Scottsdale. It was in Oak Forest. There was a big roach. It happens. We didn't have the apartment closest to the dumpster. I don't know why this was here, but this big ass roach crawled under the door. My mom screamed and jumped on the chair. Deslin screamed and jumped. It's going in the order of who's older than me, who's bigger than me, and who's supposed to do something. I saw them scream and jump, and I was like, oh,
I need to do the same.
I'll save you. So. Mm-hmm. I grabbed a shoe and I killed it instinctively. This does not mean I enjoy this. This does not mean I want to do this.
Or that you're not scared.
This is the role that I was supposed to take on.
Or that
this
is disgusting.
I don't like fucking bugs. Who likes bugs?
Keon.
Okay. That took away from a point right there. But then, you know, you see the TV shows, you see the movies. Whenever something creeps in the house, it's the man's job to like,
make sure you do it.
Do the thing.
Unless you read books. If you read books, the men actually don't do much. But, you know,
that's what I'm talking about right there. That's an example. Rewind this back 40 seconds and then fast forward 40 seconds. That. No reason for that at all. But you did it. Not saying you hate men, but that right, the facts and figures.
I'm saying.
For no reason.
You would get some diversity and conflict mm-hmm. if you picked up a book.
That's not true.
And most read books with female
failures. It's the men who did a whole bunch of shit, and that's why shit went left. And that's what I read. So, again, these things that you see and that are perpetuated are things that you're supposed to follow. The man kills the things. The man does the hunting. The man, you know, like, that's what you're supposed to do. Mm. And so that's just what I did.
Right.
I think on this specific day, I've killed and murdered countless insects and animals and bugs. I don't want to do it anymore. And I saw this roach or whatever, was a water bug, something. And it looked gross. And I just said, ew, I don't want to do it. I still killed it.
You did. But that was just one of those moments. So
I get it.
Anyway, that's what I've learned.
I love you.
I love you too. All right.
That was a good one. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're
getting long in there.
Yeah. So finally, y'all, we're going to share one thing that we want to keep doing in the fifth year. So you first, babe. Give me some quick and deep.
I want to keep potting, working, playing, and sexing together.
I was going to put podcasting, but I didn't want you to think I was all about work.
Nope, and that's why I put it first, because I wanted to let you know that I enjoy this work, so it's okay that you like doing this work with me. See, I thought about this. Also, literally wrote, don't think I want to stop doing this. I like this. Mm-hmm. I want to continue to... Since we were kids, we worked together.
Yeah.
We worked together just as much as we goofed off together, just as much as we talked about important things. We talked about nothing together. Like, this is a part of who we are. And the time off, while it was helpful because we needed to breathe for other reasons and because we did need some space from the performance of life to like go live some life.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. I enjoy the podcast. We, with all the plans and things that we're working on for the future and how this has just become a part of like our home life. And we've reached so many people that we've had a chance to have conversations with, and we get all this really great feedback, and you know, it's just, it's been nice. So I want to keep doing that. I want to keep working with you, because apart from just what the podcast is, doing work together makes you feel like you're in it together. And not all work needs to be some emotional work to fix some shit from some emotion trauma that we've had in our past. Not all work needs to be changing diapers or building some furniture or killing some fucking bugs. Some work, just work. We built a business together.
We did.
This is another one of my highlights from this. You know, like, it's nice. It's nice doing this. I want to keep sexing because obviously you're the best.
Thank you.
You're number one.
Mm.
If you didn't know it before, it's on wax now. This is official. Just putting this out there to anybody who may be listening, not as a test to see if you want to come try to one up her, but
Mikey,
just to let you know that you
are you done?
That you, Randy.
What did he say? Are you done?
I'm number one. No, I'm still going through all of the things and Mikey. Playing together because joy is important. I like making you smile. I want to continue to do so. So I want to play together more this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Well,
I kept mine short because...
Mine was short.
I mean, I only kept it to one thing. Not to say that you took a long time, but because it's...
What's your more important thing? That's just one thing?
But I did have three things for my last one, so...
Oh, so you're admitting now that there was three things.
It was one.
Please continue. What is something that you want to keep doing this year?
I want to keep finding the courage to keep having the hard conversations. We will talk more about what Mikey listened to today.
Y'all, next episode. We're doing the next episode. I can't.
Well, it's going to be in my indie. My next indie, which is coming up. But it will be a...
on...
Which means we have to... Yeah.
Fine.
Yes.
I do whatever.
So we're going to talk about next episode. Okay. The next full episode. But anyway. Yeah. So that's what I want to keep doing. Because that seems like that's important, obviously, to healthy marriages. We should keep talking.
Hey, man. Nah, let's just put this out there real quick. Quick side. The cheat code.
Mm-hmm.
The Cheat Code Podcast.
It's a new podcast added to Domino Sound, which network we are on, network we are on.
If you, just real quick, it's 30 minutes, 38 minutes.
The first episode was 35
minutes.
Go listen
to the first episode. Just go listen to the first episode, and we're going to talk to you next week.
We're going to talk to you next week about all of the ones that's out right now. And my indie is going to be a reaction to the first episode.
But I'm telling you right now to listen to the first one, just because I think you're going to keep listening.
Yeah, it's binge-worthy, but it's trash. But it's also but it's great.
Like, nah, it's hot garbage. But like, and it's not, I'm not saying garbage, like the content.
No, the content's great.
Go listen.
Go listen. Okay.
All right. You continue what you were saying.
That's it.
That was an aside. Okay. So you want to continue.
To have the courage, to find the courage to keep having the hard conversations because they're necessary.
They are. And from it comes growth and the deepness that is Randy.
And marriage that is lasting in y'all podcast because. Without it.
And a healthy family.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is no more.
Mm.
All right, engagement. If you are married or in a relationship, talk about this episode and share only the good things you enjoy about your partnership.
Also, in addition to that, if you are single or just in this day of like quarantine right now, have you thought back to some stuff that you've been grateful for in this past year? Because God.
Yeah,
it's been a long one.
And how does this episode inspire you to show gratitude? And like Mike was saying,
mm-hmm.
like about life and
shoot
about people you
email.
Love.
What's the email address?
Choose the email at blackmailmare@gmail.com.
Or leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098.
Or hit us up on social media with the details.
And y'all know what those social medias are by now. But we're going to share them again at the end of this episode.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, cause it's Fight or Flight.
So,
mm-hmm.
My fight is, you keep acting like, you keep treating me like this person that you're not married to and know and or have known.
You know, let's be careful with our words. You know, what I keep doing.
You frequently do this thing. That I'm about to fight. So Mikey is going back into his styling me bad because y'all don't know this. We were younger. Mike used to clothe me. Like, I
have fresh as fuck out here. You feel me?
Continue. He used to buy me dresses.
Hype me up. Hype me up, boo. That's right. Gas me. Gas me.
Jewelry. Mm. From New York. He go. He come back.
What else? What else? What else?
So he get off Pickin' Street.
Let them know. Brooklyn.
But now.
Brownsville. What up?
After I've had his baby and things.
East New York.
You know. He's just not finally getting back into this bag. Because we at home. We ain't got shit to do. Mm-hmm. It's Friday.
Ain't got no job.
So anyway, he found a good sale on East Bay. And he's getting me some workout shirts. And then he gets into this whole, babe, what do you like? You want Nike? You want these? Don't give a fuck. I don't care. He knows I don't care about brands.
Let's do this.
He knows I don't care about brands.
Okay.
It's not nothing against brands. I love a good Nike shoe, I think.
Nigga. All right, look. If anyone right now is listening from any of the major brands, which I love, Nike, Adidas, any of y'all, like,
it's
just,
not
just
that
know
I don't care. It's just that my
that
dad,
she will look great in it. Don't take away anything you would have given us because of her foolishness.
Was crazy about Michael Jordan, crazy about Jordans, crazy about brands, and he used to get us these shoes.
Basketball was big in the '80s, man.
And he used to make us clean them with toothbrushes.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're supposed to do.
And we couldn't wear them outside. If we wore them outside, we couldn't step on it too hard and couldn't play in it. Like, what the fuck is this
don't
for?
Bend your toe box.
I want something that can function. You know that I work out all the time. You know that I like to move. You know that I use the things. You can't say nothing else about me. If you give it to me, I will use it to the end.
Well, most
until
of the time.
Until it can't be used no more.
Okay.
So don't ask me about no brands.
But while you're using it, you're still supposed to treat it like it matters.
Mikey, I do treat it like it matters because I wear it. Because I use it. Because that's what it's for. I don't want to get a shoe or a shirt that I got to put in a glass container every damn day I take it off.
So what's your fight?
Like, I don't... This fight, brand addiction you got and trying to put it on me and
I don't have a brand addiction. I just know that if you look good, you feel good. And I want you to look good, feel good, and work out good and take care of the shit.
I got to the point, y'all, I was like, that stop buying me Jordans. I will take some K-Swiss. I don't even care. Give me some K-Swiss, some Reebok. I don't care. Because
she does not mean that. I whoever's listening, hold on real quick. I'm sorry to cut you off. You had the best fight or flight of all time, but Mikey, I have to say this. She don't mean that shit.
Mikey, I just want to
You will never see Randy in some K-Swiss.
I just want to work out. There's
or Reebok.
There's nothing wrong with those shoes. I don't care. I just want them to do what they're supposed to do.
Okay, so I am what you call a broke sneakerhead. I would get sneakers when I get them. My cousins pass them down. I keep them clean. I maintain them.
Boxes on boxes
more
and boxes
often than
of
not,
shoes.
You will
he
find
can't
me
fit
in
no
some
more.
Tim's or
then he only wear two shit, two pair of shoes
because that's all you need.
He wear
two
Tim's,
different colors. They different
and he
Tim's.
Wear Mikey.
But you know, you gotta have the butters and you gotta have
and
the black.
And apparently the black Tim's don't go with everything.
They don't because
I
at
don't
certain point
understand.
It go from satin black to charcoal, and then once it crosses that threshold,
it's black.
It's not.
It's a black
if
shoe.
If you think that all blacks are created equal,
Mikey,
then you're wrong.
Mikey, okay, this is getting long. What's your, are you fight? Are you
of
for,
course
are
I'm
you,
fighting this because I want you to understand and appreciate fashion. Why don't you? Why do you hate yourself?
I don't.
Let's dive into that.
I told
to
you,
that.
Listen, maybe I won't do the brand thing, but I'm always be moisturized. Put me with them. I'm going to be moisturized. My face going to be clean. I'm going to have shaver.
After that,
on.
You should be draped in some really fancy lingerie, a little Savage
and
Fenty.
Fine,
and then, you know, like some, you
but
know,
I want to be able to use my, I'm not trying to lay in my bed like a tea with Savage Fenty because I can't move too
modeling.
Much.
All I'm saying is after you take it off, don't just throw it up in, you know, bottle it up into a wad and throw it in the drawer. Like, you should actually, like, care for your clothes and
I
things.
Do, because I wear them.
Y'all, I got Adidas from 8 years ago. They're still perfectly clean.
Because he doesn't wear
because
them.
Because I take care of them. Because I wear them on special
wear
occasions.
Them.
On special
why
occasions.
Why am I buying something I'm never going to wear?
That's why you buy other things that you would wear during
Mikey,
the time
stupid.
That you're not wearing those things. It's not stupid. All right, so there are some really...
Mikey.
Really, really fancy retro J's that I love. And I wanted to get me and Randy a matching pair.
Mikey.
But I got scared, y'all. I got scared. Listen to me, man. I'm sharing my fears.
Mikey.
I couldn't buy them because I know deep down... Randy not gonna care for her shit.
I will.
Listen to me. Let me get this out. Mikey. If I came home and I walked through the threshold of this house and I see her Jordans just strewn about. Laid on their side with the laces not tucked in and the stuffing's not in them and they're not in the box.
Mikey, what? Am I wearing them every day? Why am I putting the stuffing back? You
because
throw that shit away.
No, you don't.
Mikey, okay, so
you keep that.
You're not gonna fight. You're not gonna apologize. You're going to.
What am I apologizing for? For you not having enough care in your heart?
For you saying that. The fact that I wear these things and use them.
That's what you're saying.
They're supposed to be consumed. You're it is consumerism.
That that's your way of showing that
yes.
you care. I'm telling you that my way
if
of showing
If you find
that
something
you care,
of, my, of mine that you've given me that ain't never been worn, that ain't never been anything,
that's not the
you
argument
should know.
Here.
That is my argument.
But
you
I want
should
you to also care
it.
For those things.
Like your care is relative.
It is. And I need your relation to line up with mine.
Okay.
Listen to me. Hear me out. Hear me out.
That's not who you married.
I bought you this really.
And in your fourth year of marriage, you ain't learned that that's not who you married.
So you want me to just accept your fault and not help you grow and not help you care in the proper way about how I care about
the
something.
The proper way. You sound crazy.
That's how I care.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
No.
Let me ask you a question. You got me this wedding ring.
Mikey.
You got me this wedding
it's
ring.
Not
you,
it's not a shoe.
It's something that matters to
it's
you.
It's not a shoe.
Something that matters.
Okay.
It's a thing mm-hmm. that you consumed, that you bought. Mm-hmm. It actually cost less than the shoe that I was going
to get. No, it didn't.
Yes, fucking, I'm telling you, I was going to get like...
Mikey.
Look, if you just saw something that you got me that's that you liked, that you would like, oh, this would be really nice for her. I really like this thing. I want her to like it too. And then you just saw me treating it like haphazardly. Wouldn't you feel some kind
of
way?
I don't think taking a shoe off and leaving it where shoes are is treating it
that's
haphazardly.
Not what I'm saying. There are
that's
the day-to-day shoes. There are the play shoes. There are the work shoes. There are the going out shoes. There are the casual shoes. There's the shoes that you take care of. There are play sneakers. There are non-play sneakers.
It's you're too supposed much. To like- I just want play sneakers. Why can't I have a universal shoe?
You can. And that's what I'll
that I don't have to clean with a toothbrush.
And so because of that, I'm going to get you some other one. Oh, specifically, I was going to get you the Ivy Park shoes.
That are
but
black, black.
Adidas you know, refunded like- my money. Adidas, if y'all are listening, I am a little tight about that because I ordered that shit way in advance. Our Ivy Park Adidas shoes are not coming.
I'm sorry.
But if they did, it would just be nice to know that you would clean them.
I would.
Would you?
PDA. There seems to not be any type of
so you're gonna
balance
fly.
Here. I'm not... You're not turning this fight around.
It just sounds like you're just flying.
I'm not flying. I said my fight. You said your piece.
So one more time. You want me to just meet you.
Where I am.
Where you are. Okay. I will make that sacrifice this time. I will meet you where you are.
I don't mind fancy things and nice things. But you...
I just shouldn't expect you to take care of them.
No, that's not what I'm saying. If you are getting me an everyday shoe, for instance, do you think I treat my gym shoes you got me that I love, my favorite pair, blue... What are those, Nikes?
Mm-hmm.
I don't fucking know. But they are great. Had them for years. Do you think I treat them like crap? Do you not? Do you think you feel
no, no,
love?
No, I got you for the purpose of treating them like crap.
But what? How do you think I treat them?
Like crap.
But what I'm saying is, do you think that I'm ungrateful? That
no,
I don't. You, that I don't show gratitude or...
I do not. You wear them when you work out, which is the entire point of those shoes. I like that.
And I have kept them.
You have.
Okay, that's all. Okay, as long as you know so, that I...
Yeah, no, I do. What are you saying?
That doesn't mean just because you think I treat them like crap. I don't know what you mean. What do you mean I treat them like crap?
I'm saying if I was to get you something that is not for the purpose of just
like, I know how to treat fancy stuff. Fancy.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
For instance, my charm bracelet, all these things that you've mm-hmm, gotten me.
Yes.
It's hanging up nicely and mm-hmm, calmly
for the most
in
part.
My jewelry box.
It is.
I keep up with shit. However, when uh-huh. it concerns shoes
and clothes,
I'm supposed to be able to wear
and clothes. Let's just add the and clothes.
You know I hate doing laundry.
Okay,
that has not changed.
Got
I have
you.
Told you, dude. I will wash the clothes if you put them up. Please don't maybe put them up because they will sit in the bag that you left them in. Please.
Okay.
All I'm saying is I've been very forthcoming.
I agree. I think that you have,
and you are unwilling and unyielding in your inability to compromise with me.
No, it's my pursuit of freshness that I think you just don't get.
Okay.
And I think it's because of your West Atlanta sensibility that it just don't click in a way that it need to. As an East Atlanta nigga, we just have a different care of, you know, appearance.
Like, it is getting on.
And it's I get
from
it.
West Atlanta. No okay. offense to those who really are.
You're offending them right
but
now. You're
not
defending
not.
Your people, Z. Cascade.
PDA.
Westside. All right, Joe. 4 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
4 years of solid, hard work under God, one nation, divisible, justice for all, whatever.
Sex approved by God. Mm-hmm. Now we're not going to hell, at least I think.
I mean,
at least not for
did,
the sex.
This is what we did before.
Okay, go ahead. Time. Go ahead.
Got you.
PDA.
I love you still.
I love you too.
I really appreciate you. I can't state enough how deeply I feel about everything you are. 4 years of marriage is not a small feat. We hear a lot about the ones that disintegrate after two, which is, go listen to the episode, y'all. I am already in a marriage that lasted longer than my parents. I'm just coming into new territory. Every day with you is just new territory. It's scary. It's difficult. It's hard. It's fun. It's a lot. I love this ride and I don't want to get off it because the girl I'm sitting next to is really cute. And I think I could bag her after we get off the ship.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you. My PDA.
What's up?
Well, what I've noticed that you started doing this year so far going to year five is receiving information, retaining it, and executing. And the other day I was doing yoga because I was about to murder the whole house. And I was like, bitch, you need to calm down. And so, as I went.
Randy just busts out the yoga mat in the living room, middle of the day, like we not all watching something.
I was like, actually, I'm going to pause cars because I'm about to kill everybody. Down to this dog.
It was Cars 3.
I'm trying not to be a bad person. I'm trying to grow and all this extra shit.
Uh-huh. But Drew really likes Lightning Queen.
But I'm about to fight everybody. So I stopped the movie.
Okay. Randy's crying. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to take you off.
And yeah, I put a yoga video on YouTube because I couldn't do it.
Y'all, she got right in front of the TV and she changed her outfit. Randy out there in the full, in the bra, the pants. She looked like the girl going to yoga looked like.
I was like, actually.
Matt rolled up under her armpit. It was very interesting.
So I'm going to have to care about myself so that I can care for y'all. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I broke out my yoga mat and I started doing some yoga for energy because I was trying to figure out what my mood was. Am I being crazy because I'm tired? Anyway, so it was an energizing one. 10 minutes, because I thought that was all Drew would give me. And she started trying to do yoga with me, y'all. And it was the cutest thing ever. I wrote about it on Patreon. It will be available to the public on Tuesday. But it was great. And Mikey, you picked up my phone. I thought I was like, Mike, get a picture of her trying to do this dogward down. And downward dog. And you did. But then you kept taking pictures. And by the time I finished the practice, I had all these beautiful pictures of me and Drew. And my phone. I really appreciate you capturing those moments because I would treasure them forever. I can't wait to put them in our photo album and print them out and have them to look back on when she's grown. And, you know, it was just really beautiful. So I really appreciate you capturing that moment and to like have the wherewithal to continue taking pictures because this girl brought out her car. She was like,
because she said, I wanted to finish watching Cars. You cut it off. Move out the way.
Drew got her car.
Getting mowed over on the mat.
She's driving on my mat, hitting my ankles.
Drew kept hitting the horn.
But I was like, I would not be moved. I need to finish a sequence for the health of my family. And I did. And so thank you for capturing that moment.
You're welcome. And I appreciate you for letting me.
Yeah.
Opening that space for me to do so. And then just kind of letting me do my own thing.
Yeah, I did not micromanage because I was bent on doing this yoga. Again, for the health of my family and myself.
I love you.
I love you. Call to Action, the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, is hosted and co-produced by Mikey and Randy Chapman. All episodes of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast are edited by Randy Chapman at Wordy Productions.
Wordy Productions, the premier production company out here making all of the fire-ass podcasts, including yours if you want to get one started, all right? She is temporarily at the moment, I think, might be open back to taking on clients. She got a full list, but if you can get in there.
I'm definitely open for some podcast strategy sessions. If you're up to that, there's a sale going on, 50% off. Hit me up. Go to my site, www.wordyproductions.com.
There's
a big announcement button.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can't miss it. Click it. And yeah, let's talk podcasts.
Pay my shorty for her shit. All right. We are now and still available on all streaming services. All right. I'm going to leave it right there. If anybody give us a bag to mention their specific service, we'll do that. But wherever you can find podcasts, that's where we are. Rate us.
5 stars and review us, y'all. We love reading your reviews. We love shouting you out. We love putting them on Instagram and all the things. Listen.
Yeah.
Review us.
We need it. Yeah. All right. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae Jingles. Details in our show notes.
Yes, thank you, Ebony, as always, to hang out with us and support our work as independent creators. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. There you'll get access to our Discord channel, unedited and edited ad-free episodes, Zoom meetings with us, and more.
A lot more.
And game
night. The community's taking off, y'all.
D&D.
It's a thing.
Book clubs.
Stop playing.
Book blogs.
You are missing out.
Our Discord is really fun, though.
This is not a sales pitch. This shit is actually cool. Follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on X, formerly known as Twitter, we are
__thejammins.
Still had to hold on to the name.
Thank you again for listening, y'all.
As always, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
When you get, 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon.